First Kings 11 through 12, 19. Now, King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, and Hittite women, from the nations of which the Lord said to the sons of Israel, "You shall not associate with them, nor shall they associate with you. They will certainly turn your heart away to follow their gods." Solomon clung to these in love. He had 700 wives, who were princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned his heart away. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away to follow other gods, and his heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of his father David had been. For Solomon became a follower of Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and of Milcom, the abhorrent idol of the Ammonites. So Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and did not follow the Lord fully, as his father David had done. Then Solomon built a high place for Shamash, the abhorrent idol of Moab, on the mountain that is east of Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abhorrent idol of the sons of Ammon. He also did the same for all his foreign wives, who burned incense and sacrificed to their gods. Now the Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice, and had commanded him regarding this thing, that he was not to follow other gods. But he did not comply with what the Lord had commanded. So the Lord said to Solomon, "Since you have done this, and you have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will certainly tear the kingdom away from you, and will give it to your servant. However, I will not do it in your days, only for the sake of your father David, but I will tear it away from the hand of your son. Yet I will not tear away all the kingdom, but I will give one tribe to your son, for the sake of my servant David, and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen." Then the Lord raised up an adversary against Solomon, Hadad the Edomite. He was one of the royal line in Edom. For it came about, when David was in Edom, and Joab, the commander of the army, had gone up to bury those killed in battle, and had struck and killed every male in Edom, for Joab and all Israel stayed there for 6 months, until he had eliminated every male in Edom, that Hadad fled to Egypt, he and certain Edomites of his father's servants with him. While Hadad was a young boy, they set out from Midian and came to Paran, and they took men with them from Paran and came to Egypt, to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, who gave him a house, and assigned him food and gave him land. Now Hadad found great favor in the sight of Pharaoh, so that he gave him in marriage the sister of his own wife, the sister of Tapenes, the queen. And the sister of Tapenes gave birth to his son Genubath, whom Tapenes weaned in Pharaoh's house. And Genubath was in Pharaoh's house among the sons of Pharaoh. But when Hadad heard in Egypt that David lay down with his fathers, and that Joab, the commander of the army, was dead, Hadad said to Pharaoh, "Let me go, so that I may go to my own country." However, Pharaoh said to him, "But what have you lacked with me that you are here, requesting to go to your own country?" And he answered, "Nothing. Nevertheless, you must let me go." God also raised up another adversary against him, Rezon, the son of Eliada, who had fled from his master Hadadezer, king of Zobah, and he gathered men to himself, and became leader of a marauding band, after David killed those of Zobah. And they went to Damascus, and stayed there, and reigned in Damascus. So he was an adversary to Israel all the days of Solomon, along with the harm that Hadad inflicted. And he felt disgust for Israel, and reigned over Aram. Then Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, an Ephraimite of Zeredah, Solomon's servant, whose mother's name was Zeruah, a widow, also rebelled against the king. Now this was the reason why he rebelled against the king. Solomon built the Millo, and closed up the breach of the city of his father David. Now the man Jeroboam was a valiant warrior, and when Solomon saw that the young man was industrious, He appointed him over all the forced labor of the house of Joseph. And it came about at that time, when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem, that the prophet Ahijah, the Shilonite, found him on the road. Now Ahijah had clothed himself with a new cloak, and both of them were alone in the field. Then Ahijah took hold of the new cloak which was on him and tore it into 12 pieces. And he said to Jeroboam, "Take for yourself 10 pieces, for this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Behold, I am going to tear the kingdom away from the hand of Solomon and give you 10 tribes. But he shall have 1 tribe, for the sake of my servant David, and for the sake of Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen from all the tribes of Israel, because they have abandoned me, and have worshipped Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, Chemosh, the god of Moab, and Milcom, the god of the sons of Ammon, and they have not walked in my ways, doing what is right in my sight, and keeping my statutes and my ordinances, as his father David did. Nevertheless, I will not take the kingdom out of his hand, but I will make him ruler all the days of his life, for the sake of my servant David, whom I chose, who kept my commandments and my statutes. But I will take the kingdom from his son's hand, and give it to you, that is, 10 tribes, but to his son I will give 1 tribe, so that my servant David may always have a lamp before me in Jerusalem, the city where I have chosen for myself to put my name. However, I will take you, and you shall reign over all that you desire, and you shall be king over Israel. Then it shall be that if you listen to all that I command you, and walk in my ways, and do what is right in my sight by keeping my statutes and my commandments, as my servant David did, then I will be with you, and build you an enduring house, as I built for David, and I will give Jerusalem to you. So I will oppress the descendants of David for this, but not always." Solomon sought, therefore, to put Jeroboam to death, but Jeroboam set out and fled to Egypt, to Shishak, the king of Egypt, and he was in Egypt until the death of Solomon. Now the rest of the acts of Solomon, and whatever he did, and his wisdom, are they not written in the book of the Acts of Solomon? So the time that Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel was 40 years. Then Solomon lay down with his fathers and was buried in the city of his father David, and his son Rehoboam reigned in his place. Then Rehoboam went to Shechem, because all Israel had come to Shechem to make him king. Now when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard about this, he was living in Egypt, for he was still in Egypt, where he had fled from the presence of King Solomon. Then they sent word and summoned him. And Jeroboam and all the assembly of Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam, saying, "Your father made our yoke hard. But now lighten the hard labor imposed by your father, and his heavy yoke which he put on us, and we will serve you." Then he said to them, "Depart for 3 days, then return to me." So the people departed. And King Rehoboam consulted with the elders who had served his father Solomon while he was still alive, saying, "How do you advise me to answer this people?" They spoke to him, saying, "If you will be a servant to this people today, and will serve them and grant them their request, and speak pleasant words to them, then they will be your servants always." But he ignored the advice of the elders which they had given him, and consulted with the young men who had grown up with him, and served him. He said to them, "What advice do you give, so that we may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, 'Lighten the yoke which your father put upon us'?" And the young men who had grown up with him spoke to him, saying, "This is what you should say to this people who spoke to you, saying, 'Your father made our yoke heavy. Now you make it lighter for us.' You should speak to them this way: 'My little finger is thicker than my father's waist. Now then, my father loaded you with a heavy yoke. Yet I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions.'" Then Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam on the 3rd day, just as the king had directed, saying, "Return to me on the 3rd day. And the king answered the people harshly, for he ignored the advice of the elders which they had given him. And he spoke to them according to the advice of the young men, saying, "My father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions." So the king did not listen to the people, because it was a turn of events from the Lord, in order to establish his word which the Lord spoke through Ahijah the Shilonite to Jeroboam the son of Nebat. When all Israel saw that the king had not listened to them, the people replied to the king, saying, "What share do we have in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, Israel. Now look after your own house, David." So Israel went away to their tents. But as for the sons of Israel who lived in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. Then King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was in charge of the forced labor, and all Israel stoned him to death. And King Rehoboam hurried to mount his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. So Israel has broken with the house of David to this day. John 4. So then, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that he was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself was not baptizing, rather his disciples were, he left Judea and went away to Galilee, and he had passed through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria and called it Sychar, near the parcel of land that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, tired from his journey, was just sitting by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away to the city to buy food. So the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, though you are a Jew, are asking me for a drink, though I am a Samaritan woman? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." But Jesus replied to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." And she said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you? Who gave us the well and drank of it himself, and his sons and his cattle?" Then Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I give him shall never be thirsty. But the water that I give him will become in him a fountain of water, springing up to eternal life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty, nor come all the way here to draw water." He said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said to him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have said correctly, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you have now is not your husband. This which you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and yet you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one must worship." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, that a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, because salvation is from the Jews. But a time is coming, and even now has arrived, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, he who is called the Christ. When that one comes, he will declare all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one speaking to you." At this point, his disciples came, and they were amazed that he had been speaking with a woman. Yet no one said, "What are you seeking?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" So the woman left her water pot and went into the city, and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me all the things that I have done. This is not the Christ, is he?" They left the city and were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples were saying to one another, "No one brought him anything to eat, did he?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me, and to accomplish his work. Do you not say, 'There are still 4 months, and then comes the harvest?' Behold, I tell you, raise your eyes and observe the fields, that they are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages, and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the one who sows and the one who reaps may rejoice together. For in this case, the saying is true, 'One sows, and another reaps.' I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have come into their labor." Now from that city, many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all the things that I have done." So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they were asking him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. Many more believed because of his word, and they were saying to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and know that this one is truly the Savior of the world." And after the 2 days, he departed from there for Galilee, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him, only because they had seen all the things that he did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they themselves also went to the feast. Therefore, he came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made water into wine. And there was a royal official whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come from Judea into Galilee, he went to him and began asking him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will simply not believe." The royal official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." So Jesus said to him, "Go, your son is alive." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and went home. And as he was now going down, his slaves met him, saying that his son was alive. So he inquired of them the hour when he began to get better. Then they said to him, "Yesterday, at the 7th hour, the fever left him." So the father knew that it was at the hour in which Jesus said to him, "Your son is alive." And he himself believed, and his entire household. This again, a second sign that Jesus performed while he had come from Judea into Galilee. Revelation 4. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things." Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and someone was sitting on the throne. And he who was sitting was like a jasper stone and a sardius in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, like an emerald in appearance. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments, and golden crowns on their head. Out from the throne came flashes of lightning, and sounds and peals of thunder. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was something like a sea of glass, like crystal, and in the center and around the throne, 4 living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature was like a lion, the second creature like a calf, the third creature had a face like that of a man, and the fourth creature was like a flying eagle. And the 4 living creatures, each one of them having 6 wings, are full of eyes around and within, and day and night they do not cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was, and who is to come." And when the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever, The 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne, and they will worship him who lives forever and ever, and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of your will they existed and were created." Proverbs 25:21-28. If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat, and if he is thirsty, give him water to drink, for you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. The north wind brings rain, and a gossiping tongue brings an angry face. It is better to live on a corner of the roof than in a house shared with a contentious woman. Like cold water to a weary soul, so is good news from a distant land. Like a trampled spring and a polluted well, so is a righteous person who gives way before the wicked. It is not good to eat much honey, nor is it glory to search out one's own glory. Like a city that is broken into and without walls, so is a person who has no self-control over his spirit. Psalm 132. Remember, Lord, in David's behalf, all his affliction, how he swore to the Lord, and vowed to the Mighty One of Jacob, "I certainly will not enter my house, nor lie on my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes, or slumber to my eyelids, until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the Mighty One of Jacob. Behold, we heard about it in Ephrathah. We found it in the field of Jar. Let's go into his dwelling place. Let's worship at his footstool. Arise, Lord, to your resting place, you and the ark of your strength. May your priests be clothed with righteousness, and may your godly ones sing for joy. For the sake of your servant David, do not turn away the face of your anointed. The Lord has sworn to David, a truth from which he will not turn back. I will set upon your throne one from the fruit of your body. If your sons will keep my covenant and my testimony, which I will teach them, their sons will also sit upon your throne forever. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it as his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her food. I will satisfy her needy with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her godly ones will sing aloud for joy. And I will make the horn of David spring forth there. I have prepared a lamp for my anointed. I will clothe his enemies with shame, but upon himself his crown will gleam.